To talk about the parsha of Emor tonight, a little bit of the parsha. I wanted to thank Barbara and Howard Wettstein for dedicating this shiur. I remember fondly my stay with them in Los Angeles, and I'm not sure that I'll be able to do that again, but memories are good. I like to talk about the story that we learned at the end of the parasha of Emor, which begins with the words Vayetze, and sort of like in the middle of things. It's a beginning. But Rashi correctly asks, what is Vayetze from? Where did he go from? How do you start a story in the middle of a sentence? But let's read the pasuk first. Ben Isha Yisraeli, we know him. His mother was a Yisraelite. His mother was a Jewess. V'hu ben Ish Mitzri. But he is also the son of a non-Jew who is called Ish Mitzri, an Egyptian man. B'toch b'nei Yisrael. In other words, he lived, this man, who was the son of a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father, B'toch b'nei Yisrael. So in terms of the halachic position, you would think that he was obviously Jewish. Vayinatsu b'machaneh, vayinatsu. They had a disagreement. They fought with each other. They were not able to get along. Who? Vayinatsu b'machaneh ben ha-Yisraelit. Ben ha-Yisraelit v'ish ha-Yisraeli. So in the manner of Torah storytelling, when you come close to a problem of Lashon Hara, the Torah tries to avoid telling us all the information we might be interested in. Vayinatsu b'machaneh, they had a fight in the camp. Ben ha-Yisraelit v'ish ha-Yisraeli, the son of the Yisraeli woman, and a man who is the son of a Jew. So this pasuk tells us a lot, but leaves out a lot. And Rashi is going to make up for some of what we feel we are missing in the story. So Rashi starts off, Rashi says, Reisei ben Aisha Yisraelit, Meichan Yatsa, straight to it. There's Rashi. Where did he go from? What is Vayetze? How can you start off the story with the word Vayetze? Rabbi Levi Omer, Me olamo yatsa. He left his world, which might be another way of saying he left his ultimate reward. He did something so terrible that the only way to measure it is with the word Vayetze. He went out of all the things that he might have received. He went out of all the world that he was living in. That's Yatsa, interpretation number one. Rabbi Berechi Omer, Mi parashasha lemala yatsa. Yatsa. From the matter that was discussed above. What is the matter that was discussed above? The showbread. The showbread on the shulchan. On the shulchan, on the table. The bread was brought every week. New bread. So Vamar b'yom ha-Shabbat ya'archenu, that you kind of set it up, put it out on the table every week, b'yom ha-Shabbat. So along comes this clever fellow, this person who's Ben Isha Yisraelit. He says, Derech ha-Melech, we all know about kings. Kings were very popular people in those days. Everybody had one. And Derech HaMelech, he says, the way of the king is לאכול פת חמה בכל יום. To eat fresh bread every day. Not like us. They didn't put it in the freezer and take it out and eat it and defrost it. But they had fresh bread every day. Oh Shema, is it possible that they ate pats and then it cool off, or like warm, semi-warm bread, shel tishayamim, that is there, they're there for 9 days with Tmiya. So this means that this fellow was looking around and he said, there's something wrong with the way the Torah construes the Beit HaMikdash. Because one of the things in the Beit HaMikdash was the bread that was brought and that stayed for a week. And after that week, new bread was brought and the Kohanim were able to eat the bread after 9 days. So he said, Derech HaMelech, go back a line. Fresh bread, new bread, special bread every day. Did you ever hear of a king eating bread that was not so well prepared? 9 days old, bitmiya. So somehow it was theological. I mean, in the sense that the Torah is supposed to represent God's will. And that's like something that we look forward to. Look forward to accepting the Torah as the representative of God's will and following that will. And here is this person. He said, God is minimally the king of the world. So how is God preparing a meal that no king in his right mind would participate in, bitmiya? So he says, yatsa ligleg ve'amar. He left the category. He left what category? The people who accepted the Torah at Har Sinai. He left that group. He was no longer part of it. He found a flaw in the system, in the Torah. Umatnitin amra, a third opinion, right? Remember, the first opinion is me'olam moyetza. He gave up his future, his the world. Rabbi Rechya amar that he found a flaw in the Torah's concept of the Beit HaMikdash. The Kohanim, the Beit HaMikdash, the showbread, the Lechem HaPanim. Finally, Matnita Amra, there's a brayta that says, Bibeit Dino Shel Moshe Yatsa Mechuyav, that this guy was in the Beit Din with Moshe Rabbeinu, and he lost. Whatever it was that he was adjudicating, he lost the case. What was it? Bali ta ohalo betoch machane dan. He came to take a place in the camp designated as machane dan, the place of the Danites. Amru lo mativ chalekan. So they said to him, why are you here? Mativ chalekan, who said you're a Danite? Amar lahem, mibnei Dan, ani. He said to them, I'm one of the sons of Dan, meaning my father came from the tribe of Dan. Amar lahem, mibnei Dan, ani. Amru lo. So they said to him, Ishal diglo ba'otot lebeit avotam. Deep. Ishal diglo ba'otot, the degel, the flag, lebeit avotam, that goes to the father, lebeit avotam, deep. Okay, We'll see what that means. Nechnas lebeit dino shel Moshe. Yetzah mechuyav. He was not granted access to the land, the encampment of the tribe of Dan, which meant that he wasn't really part of the tribe of Dan. Okay, I mean, I explained the Rashi the way we might explain it, but I remind you of the pasuk. He says, "Vayetzei." Oh, let's take the third interpretation. He left the Beit Din of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, he is a ben ish mitzri, b'toch b'nei Yisrael, v'yinatzu b'machane ben ha-Yisraelit, v'ish ha-Yisraeli. V'yikol ben ha-Isha ha-Yisraelit, Pasuk Yud Aleph, you see, this is going to run into difficulty here. Vayikov ben ha'isha ha'yisraelit, and he cursed the son of the Yisrael woman. But again, in modern times, he would be considered Israeli. Et Hashem, Vayikalel, and he cursed. Vayaviu otol Moshe, and that this was considered to be a major transgression. Vayaviu oto el Moshe, and again, b'shem imo, his mother's name was Shlomit bat Divri le'matei Dan. So who was the Matei Dan? That was his mother. So Rashi says, you see the back to the Rashi. Bali tano alo betoch machane Dan. He wanted to live with the Danites. Amru lama mativ chalekan. Amar lahem ibnei Dan ani, meaning my mother is one of the Danites. Amru lo ish al diglo ba'otot levet avotam kiti. No, you're not one of the. You're not the son of your mother, you're the son of your father. And since your father is not Jewish, he certainly can't be considered to be a Danite. Ben ish al diglo be'otot, right? You grab onto the flag that is your flag, levet avotam ketiv. Who is that who grabs onto the flag? The one who has a father. Nechnas lebeit dilo shel Moshe v'yetzah mechuyav. So there's a story behind the story. Obviously, this person thought that he had a case. If he didn't think he had a case, he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have nechnas lebeit dilo shel Moshe v'yetzah mechuyav, because he knew that he lost more than you think. Amad v'gidev, he stood up and he cursed. And then it says again. Again. Ben Ish Mitzri, you see the Pasuk? Vayikov ben Aisha Yisraelit, et Hashem Ekalel, Yehvu Atol Moshe, v'shem imo Shlomit bat Dibri. This is Ben Ish Mitzri. See the Rashi, Ben Ish Mitzri? Still in that first pasuk, Ben Ish Mitzri, that's him. Hu ha-Mitzri shahago mi-Moshe. Hua Mitzri Sarakol Moshe. Okay. Everything connects to everything else. Betok B'nei Yisrael Melamed Shenit Kayer. This, I think, is important. It was, they're having trouble figuring out who's related to whom exactly. They fought to each other, these two, with each other, these two people. Aliskeha machane. Oh, they were fighting about the machane. I mean, they went, first they went to, because of the fight that he had. Vayinatsuba machane, pasuk yud. Bena Yisraeli, tveisha Yisraeli. They fought. What were they fighting about? They were fighting about a place, about the machane. Vayinatsuba machane, Rashi says, aliskeha machane. They were fighting about the Mechane, the Isha Yisraeli. Zeshekin Negdo, the one who was opposite him, the one who fought with him. Shemichabo Mita Ohalo. He tried to prevent him from setting up his tent in that place. In that place. Again, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayikol ben Aisha Yisraelit et Hashem. He cursed the God at Hashem. Vayikalel. Vayavir otol Moshe. He continued to curse and he brought him to Moshe Rabbeinu b'shem imo Shlomit bat Divri l'matei Dan. So I guess now we sort of have it straight. His mother was Jewish. She came from the machane of the tribe of Dan. He, the son, who was the son of an Egyptian man, but a woman who came from the tribe of Dan, tried to be accepted into the tribe of Dan, but he was rejected by the court of Moshe Rabbeinu and then rejected by another person who fought to keep him out of tribe of Dan, the flag of Dan. The pasuk says, "Vayinatzuba machane." They fought in the camp. Rashi says, "Aliskeya machane." Veisha Yisraeli zeshekinegdo. The person who tried to stop him. Shemichabo mita ohalo, that he tried to prevent him from setting up his tent in that area, the area given to the tribe of Dan. Again, vayikol ben Aisha Yisraelit et Hashem, vayikalel, vayavir otel Moshe, v'shem imo Shlomit bat Divri l'matei Dan. Pasuk Yud Bet. Well, I'm sorry. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph. Vayikov ben Aisha. A Yisraelit. Vayikov. Rashi says. Vayikov. Vayikov. Itargumo. You know that Rashi often accepts the translation of Unculus as being the last word, actually. And Rashi even has the special lingo. He says, Kitargumo. Check the Targum, he says. The Targum says, Pirish. Parish. That's the word Parish is to, it's like the Hebrew word Miforash. Perfectly clearly. Parish. Chenakav Shem Amyuchad Vigadav. Nakat, he used the Shem HaMiyuchad, the special name of God, and cursed. V'hu Shem HaMiforash Shema MiSinai. So you always have this kind of feeling. Like, what happened? What was it that was such a big a problem? After all, he was at Har Sinai. He heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the Torah. It's hard for us to imagine. I would say, boy, if I was at Har Sinai, I wouldn't have any problem. Well, you know, I mean, I have a problem. Whatever problem I have is because I'm not at Har Sinai. But being at Har Sinai, there we have the Torah is full of people who are at Har Sinai who are not clear about things. Shenakav Shemam Yuchad V'Gadav, he used the intelligence received at Har Sinai in order to deny the authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Meforash. That's what we call it, Rashi says. It's the name of names, the ultimate name of God, the name that cannot be exchanged for any other, Sheshama Misinai. Sheshama Misinai. Vayik Halel. Vayavio Tol Moshe V'shemi Mo, like a postscript. V'shemi Yoshlomit Batevril Mateidan. So here we see that she is from Mateidan. V'shemi Mo, Rashi says, Shlomit Batevril. Shivchan Shel Yisrael Shaper Sema Katuv Lazo. In other words, Rashi says, how come all of a sudden we have to know her name? Like, what difference does it make to me what her name is? She had relations with a non-Jew. She had a child. Whatever comes from that comes from that. But I have to know what her name is. I mean, I'm not going to name my grandchildren after Shlomit Bat Divri. I mean, I don't have to know. Shivchan Shel Yisrael Shapir Sama Katuv Lazo. So Rashi says, well, you know, sometimes it looks bad, but it's really could be positive. Lomar Shehi Levada Hayta Zona. She was the only one. They knew her name. They knew her name. And therefore, it's sort of like, looks good for Am Yisrael. Looks good for Am Yisrael. Shlomit, why do they call her Shlomit? Why do they call her Shlomit? The Havat Pet Peta Shalom Alach, Shalom Alach, Shalom Alechem. She was a talker. She went around talking. How are you? How are things? How are you? Plural. Mifat Petot Midvarim. So Elet Bishlom HaKol, so Rashi explains, she talked a lot. So Elet Bishlom HaKol, she asked everybody how they were doing. She didn't let anybody alone. So that was the cause of her downfall. Bat Divri, that's Shlomit. Dabranit Aita, she was a talker. She spoke to everybody, Levika Kilkala, and that was the source of her downfall. Source of her downfall. Okay, I won't get involved in that, but you understand that Rashi is relating to the fact that we don't have to know her name. It really enhance the story to know the name of the person who allowed herself to become pregnant from a non-Jew. I mean, you know, whatever you think about it, it's something that we didn't need in the story. So Rashi gives it a twist, and he says it was very, very much positive. Very much positive, even though she herself talked too much and had too many occasions to speak to others. But eventually, the fact is that we knew her name because she was the only one who did that. The Matei Dan. Magid Shehusha Sharesha Goreim Ginailo. That evil causes a bad reputation. Ginaila Aviv. It's a bad reputation for his father. And Ginaila Shifto, and it's bad for the entire tribe. Kiyotsebo Oliav Ben Achisamach Lematei Dan. There's another member of the Dan tribe, and that's Ehaliav, who was helped Bezalel to build the Mishkan, Aliyah, about Aliyah, it says Ben Achisamach v'Matei Dan. Shevachlo, Shevachlaviv, Shevel Shifto. He was the opposite person. He was the person who brought praise to himself, to his father, and to his tribe. We'll finish. Finish up. It says in Pasuk, Yud Bet Vayirichu B'Mishmar Lefrosh Lehem Al Pi Hashem. Vayirichu B'Mishmar Rashi Vayirichu singular Levado. That's what Rashi says. V'lo Hinichu Hinichu B'Koshei Shimo. There was another person who was put into jail for the same reason, that they didn't know exactly what to do with him. Sheshnehem ayu b'perek echad, they were at the same time. Rashi says the Mekoshesh, the one who did melacha on Shabbat, and the Mekalel, b'perek echad, they were at the same time. V'yodim ayu shamekoshesh b'mita, they knew that the Mekoshesh who denied a prohibition that related to Shabbat will be, they knew what his punishment was. But it was not clear to them which is the proper or the way of killing him, which is a Avol b'mekalel, who omer lefrosh lahem, shelo yudim chayav mita im lav. Okay, so here Rashi gets us into another kind of problem. He says, you know, the Rambam says, or the Rambam points out, that there are two kinds of Torah Shebaal Peh, what we call Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh. What's Torah Shebaal Peh? So the Rambam points out this is every word that is written, everything in the Torah, that's Torah Shebichtav, that's the written Torah. But anything that's written has to be explained, because every word has a multiple meanings. And because every word has multiple meanings, there are sometimes even multiple meanings that you don't know about, that you haven't learned yet, you haven't understood. So that every line of Torah Shebichtav includes Torah Shebaal Peh. There's got to be Torah Shebaal Peh. In order to steer yourself right, you need a GPS in the Torah. Otherwise, you could just say things that don't mean anything and don't really connect. And we call that the Torah Shebaal Peh of the Torah Shebichtav. Then there's another Torah Shebaal Peh, add-ons, expansions, new material, new ideas, new things that we understand. Now, we can't always distinguish between one kind of Torah Shebaal Peh and the other kind of Torah Shebaal Peh, but we know that they exist. So here you have an example. Rashi mentions to us that when it came to two sinners that are mentioned in the Torah, one is the Mekoshei Sheitzim, the one who collected the wood on Shabbat. This is the Mekoshei Sheitzim, and the other is the Mekalel, the one who cursed, that we didn't know exactly what to do with them. The Torah Shebaal Peh was lacking. The Torah Shebaal Peh was lacking. Maybe that means something. Maybe it means that the Torah itself did not think that we need this information in the desert. But in any event, we learned, when it comes to the Mekoshei Sheitzim, we learned what the death penalty, what kind of death penalty it was. When it came to Mekoshei Sheitzim, we learned what it was that he was supposed to, what his punishment would be. What his punishment would be. Finally, Shem Shlomo Beter Meti Dan. Vayinichu b'mishmar v'froch lahem al pi Hashem. We put him in jail. We put him in a place we could watch over him, and then l'faresh lahem al pi Hashem to explain it. Pasuk Yud Gimel v'devash Hashem al Moshe l'imor hotzei et ha-mekalel el michutz la-machaneh. Take this mekalel outside of the machaneh, outside. What does it have to do with the mekalel outside of the machaneh? V'samchu kol ha-shomim et yideihem al rosho. All the people who are listening should put their hands on his head. You know, that sort of, that's kind of a way of connecting. When you put your hands on somebody's head to give them a blessing or to encourage them, then you're connecting yourself to them. And the pasuk says, Ragmul oto kol aida. And you stone him. Ragmul oto kol aida. Right, the Rashi, Ashomim, Ela Ha'edim, right, the Shomim are the witnesses who came to attest to the fact that he did it. Kol Ha'vi et Adayanim, et Yideihem, Omrim Lo Damcha Beroshcha, you yourself are guilty, and your blood is your responsibility. Vein anu ne'enashim b'mitatcha. We don't have anything to do personally with your death. You sort of killed yourself. Shata garamta lecha. You caused this to happen. We say kol ha'adav mim b'ma'amad shekol ha'ida b'ma'amad kol ha'ida. Mikan sheshlucho shel adam kimoto. From here we learn the principle that a shaliach appointed by a person, shaliach, is a kamoto, that the shaliach takes the place of the mishaliach. Okay, so we can, before we unpack it, It's true. It's true, I mean, that there are less pasuk. So pasuk tetzayin, v'nokev shem Hashem mot yumat. So this is a general principle. If you curse the name of God, you are liable to death. Ragom yirgumu bo kol ha'ida. You'll stone him. Gager ka'azrach b'nakvo shem yumat. A ger, or an ezrach, right? That's the story that we're talking about. So, if you have to unpack a little bit, I would like to mention, I don't want you to forget it, that there are two other psukim that you have to remember. One pasuk is Mikalel Aviv Imo Mot Yumat. Our story is about somebody who cursed God. Here, and his punishment is death. And here in Shmot Perek Kafalev Mishpatim, it says Mikalel Aviv Imo Mot Yumat. Right? Rashi says, Lama Neymar, the Fishu Omer, Ish, Ashay Kalelet Aviv, Ainli Ella Isha Kilelet Aviv, Isha Kilelet Aviv Aminayan. Rashi's learning it like the Gemara would learn it. Kalel Aviv, right? Ish, Asher Yikal, it's another pasuk, right? Yikalelet Aviv. What about Isha? Talmud lomar mekalel aviv ve'imo. Stam ben ish ben isha. There's no difference if it's a man or a woman. Im kein lama ne'emar ish asher yikalel lotzi et hakatan. The reason that the ish is mentioned in the pasuk of Vayikra is lotzi et hakatan, to exclude the child that is not punished until he grows up. Mod yumat b'skila means stoning. Every place that the blood of the victim is mentioned, biskila, it's always skila. Where it says damabo, it means kill him with skila. Binyanav lekulam, right? Be'evin yigamu oto d'meyim bam. Another pasuk which has both of these babikalela bivimo ne'emar damabo. And one more pasuk. Pasuk perikah pasuk tet ki ish asher yikalel et aviv et imo mot yumat aviv imo kilel damav bo. Okay, so in other words, one pasuk says, the pasuk in Shmot says mikalel aviv imo mot yumat, and now a pasuk says ki ish yikalel et aviv et imo. Mot yumat, kalel et aviv et imo, the same kind of phrasing, So why is it that if we know that the kalel et aviv et imo gets is punished with mavet, why did we have to have so much difficulty in figuring out what the kalel et Hashem should get? Wouldn't you imagine that cursing God is worse than cursing your father or your mother? I mean, what was the, what's the takeaway? What am I supposed to understand? Aaron Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty in figuring out what the punishment for the Mekalel was. Okay, I could say for Moshe Rabbeinu, you had to know it. It wasn't enough to think it or to assess it in some way. You had to actually know it. All right. Okay, I understand that. But what is it? How is it possible that we know that Mekalel Aviv V'Imo is Mot Yumat, and we don't know what the Mekalel et Hashem, which certainly sounds a lot worse, we don't know what this punishment might be? Let me just mention the Netziv. At the end of the Netziv, Avo Yesh Od L'Lamdeinu, the Mekalel, we can understand that Mekalel, Afakav She'no Matir La'aviv U'le'imo, Sharei Nignav V'Nimkad, that's what it says in the previous Pasuk. What happens if somebody is stolen? So the Chazal said, well, that must be the Aviv Imo that is stolen. Nignav v'nimkar, v'hu mikalel Aviv Imo, mishahu. In other words, he says, whoever my parents might be, I want to curse them because they were not with me, they didn't take care of me, they didn't help me to grow. V'hu mikalel Aviv Imo, mishahu. Even in spite of the fact, this is something that I derive from the fact that it says, Mekalel Aviv V'Imo, below Avraim. Everyone would say Avraim, that would be very, very personal. Mekalel Aviv V'Imo, that's impersonal. He's not there. His parents are not there. They don't know each other. Ainu shehu, ein maskiram bishmam. He doesn't even mention their name. He doesn't know their names. They were stolen. He was stolen as a boy, and they were stolen. Elo omer yikulal avi ve'imi. He says they should be cursed. they should be cursed. So the klala, the idea of a klala is, according to the Nitziv, the idea of a klala is to take apart the relationship. Take apart with a relationship when HaKadosh Baruch Hu let us in on the greatest secret of all, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And somebody comes to deny that relationship, deny that gift, using it against the relationship. Because what is a klala? Klala means, I think there's another authority. There's somebody else who can direct things. There is a different kind of power in the world that has to be noted. And therefore, that power gives me the authority to curse God, to do something that is today, I think, kind of unthinkable. And somehow, according to this Nitziv, the father and mother, even if the father and mother have disappeared, even if they no longer exist, they are somehow tied with a strong bond to their child. The son who curses, he does it because I mean, he feels that his parents have not loved him in a proper manner. They have not achieved for him what he had hoped that they might. He wants to cut them off. He wants to deny the connection. He wants to take it away. And that metaphorically is what cursing God is about. Cursing God is about, it's not fair. Here he is, this the cursor of Parshat Emor. I mean, what is he trying to avoid? He wants to be let in. He wants a place in the Shevet of Dan. But he's not a Danite. He doesn't deserve that. He shouldn't get that. And in the Beit Din of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was made clear to him that he's not one of those people. He's not a person who's going to get any kind of leniency because he's able to say that he's from the tribe of Dan. It's to us, it seems a little radical that the people who are closest to God have the opportunity to do the greatest transgressions, kind of Nadav Avihu, you know, story. And we're talking about a world in which God is very available. People not only pray to God, but speak to God. There's an ongoing effort to understand the Torah. I mean, it just keeps going on and on. And even Moshe Rabbeinu participates in that effort. And luckily for us, Moshe Rabbeinu did that. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu showed us that there were things that he didn't understand and had to reconvene with God to find out what the exact psak was. Because after all, it's difficult. Even if you have the Torah Shebichtav perfectly copied down, and then you have the Torah Shebaal Peh of the Torah Shebichtav, you still might be able to say, I know that the Mekalel, that the one who cursed, I mean, I know that he is going to get the death penalty, but I don't know how. I don't know what sort of death penalty he is supposed to be given. So I have to find out. I mean, there's no way to find that out without consulting directly with heaven. But it turns out that there can be a lacuna in your understanding. It doesn't matter how well you've learned, how close you are to the Torah. You can make a mistake, and you've got to know that. You can look for Andre into the Torah Shebe'al Peh of the Torah Shebichtav in order to make it possible to say you did what you have to do in order to get the proper interpretation. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.